Welcome to the Manufacturing the Future podcast, the show designed to help you future-proof your manufacturing operations. Each episode features interviews with innovative manufacturing leaders and subject matter experts who share their insights and best practices about the technology that can empower you to streamline operations, prepare your organization for what lies ahead, and continue to keep our world turning. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan, Vice President of Product Management at Epicor. Now, for today's episode.
Hey, everyone, and thank you for listening. Welcome to our show where we're talking with the manufacturing leaders who are redefining the industry and achieving incredible growth. Today, I'm very happy to be speaking with Randall Thompson, the president and founder of Dugout Mugs, which makes, markets, and distributes uniquely fun baseball-themed drinking vessels. Have you ever drank from a baseball bat? We're going to learn all about it. And also how Randall led Dugout Mugs into one of the fastest growing private manufacturing companies in the US. So let's dig into Dugout Mugs. Randall, thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me here.
So to get us started, let's get to know you. Can you tell us about yourself and why you started Dugout Mugs?
I grew up in Central Florida, instantly loved the game of baseball while growing up. Grew up right around the corner from a baseball field. My dad actually bought the home because it was right around the corner from a baseball field. Grew up going to that baseball field, played there until I was about 12 years old, played high school baseball, played college baseball, played professional baseball, got out of baseball. The Toronto Blue Jays released me. Had no real, I guess, path that I knew I wanted to go in. I knew I wanted to be creative and I wanted to create things. So I started Dugout Mugs and, I guess that's a very, very quick version of my life, but that's how we've gotten here.
What a passion project, you know, to like, you love the game of baseball your whole life and then, you know, transformed it into a business. Can you tell us about the business today, like where you're located, you know, different facilities or locations or, and then even like some of the things that you make?
Yeah. So we are a company that's located in Central Florida. We have a couple different buildings that do a couple different types of operations. And about 10,000 square feet that makes up our operation. Started in 2016. So we're about year six or seven here. And yeah, we make the barrel of a baseball bat turned into a drinking mug. So if you think about the top half of a baseball bat, chop it off, hollow it out, and turn it into what we refer to as the ultimate game day mug. And we do some other things like convert the knob of a baseball bat into a shot glass. We also turn it into a bottle opener and take baseballs, cut them in half, turn them into bottle openers. Pretty much just dissect baseballs and baseball bats and turn them into stuff that you would use at a tailgate, a party, or on game day while watching a big sports game on TV.
This is so cool because there's wooden ones and metal ones too, right? And then you can also personalize?
Yep, that's correct. So it all started with the wood dugout mug. And then, yeah, we had an idea of, could we take the same concept and do it with more so like in a style of a tumbler rather than a mug?
Yeah.
And we introduced that about a year and a half ago or so, and it's done well so far.
What are some of the most popular ones that people like? Do they go for their team or do they like to personalize them?
That's mostly Major League Baseball stuff that we sell. We do have an upsell of being able to put something on the back, personalize with a name or date or whatever you want to put on there. And typically about 20% of customers take that.
Nice. Are there ever any, I mean, I imagine, you know, kid leagues, you know, do you see any like local communities making them out of those?
You mean like converting their bats into
mugs? Yeah. I'm just curious. I mean, it seems like I've never come across it. It seems like a really cool model. So I'm just curious, like all the different types of, you know, customers.
Yeah, that's how the idea actually originated was I thought to myself, could we take a broken wooden baseball bat after somebody just spent $250 on it and took one swing with it and it broke? Could you take that barrel and make utility to it and turn it into a mug? And we've done that, but it's not scalable. Who we did it for was Stan Musial's family, and they had some of Stan Musial's bats. And we converted them into mugs for a Christmas gift.
Oh.
So we would make an exception for arguably one of the best hitters of all time. But as far as a scalable business model for converting game used bats, maybe someday and charge a premium for them, but it's not in the plan for growth right now.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of growth, you all have been growing really fast. Can you talk about what that journey has been like, maybe some of the challenges that you came across that you had to overcome as you've been growing over the years?
Yeah. So COVID had the opposite effect on us comparatively to some brick and mortar businesses, to where we are really well positioned for online sales. And in general, we skipped like a decade or two of online consumption because nobody had anything else to do other than just buy crap online. So we were on the fortunate side of that. And our business went nuts from 2020 to 2022. When a ton of consumers were just scrolling mindlessly on their social media feeds and throwing stimulus money at all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were on the fortunate side of that, and we saw a crazy growth J, if you will. And the issue that you come into whenever you're growing at hyper speed, everything kind of just works. And you kind of just throw money at problems without really putting too much thought into, is this actually the best solution? Or is it just the quickest solution with the most amount of money? And so then when that J kind of settles and you take a step back and you start to really audit where your dollars are going out, you're kind of just reactive in hyper growth mode. And then when the dust settles and things kind of plateau out, you start to audit the allocation of dollars and you make a determination of whether those were the best fit for your dollars, and sometimes have to take a couple steps back to sprint forward again. And I would say that has been the past year, maybe year and a half, that's been the most challenging part of the hyper growth, is things kind of coming back to earth and then understanding what the new floor is in order to launch again, so to speak.
Yeah, I could see that. So you said you're really well positioned for online sales. I know you all have a website, dugoutmugs.com. Is that the primary way in which you sell? Do you connect to other marketplaces online, or what's the model there?
90% of our business is e-commerce, 10% is retailers. So like we're in Dick's Sporting Goods, we're in all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums, but the amount of revenue that generates is peanuts compared to what we're able to generate in the e-com space. But we're trying to expand a little bit the retail business and not be so heavily reliant on e-com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So e-commerce, definitely a type of technology. So on the show, we like to talk about manufacturing technologies, the, you know, digital transformation that's been happening across the business or across the industry. Can you talk more about other technologies or even more about the e-commerce technology that you've chosen to use?
Yeah. So we keep things really, really simple. And that's something I somewhat pride myself on for our products as well. You look at them and there's no real complexities to them. Manufacturing and business already is just, for lack of a better way of putting it, it's a pain in the ass. And you don't necessarily want to complicate things,
Yeah. Whether
it's on your tech stack or it's your manufacturing processes. You just don't want to do it to yourself. And the more complexities that you add to your supply chain or to the way that you go about putting a product in front of a customer and eventually somebody putting it in a box and putting it in a pile for USPS to pick up and take to them, you just want to make it as simple as possible. So with that said, I think, you know, I'm 33 years old, so I don't really know the difference here, but I think we live in a day and age where if you want to keep things simple, you can most certainly keep things simple. And Shopify is what we host our website on and pretty much controls our whole back end. Everybody at our warehouse, a team of only 10, 15, 20 people. When we spike up, we have a lot more of that, but that team all operates in the back end of Shopify. So getting yourself familiar with that. If you're familiar with Shopify, you pretty much run a whole entire business off of Shopify. And then social media ads, we've tried to diversify off of Facebook ads.
Yeah.
And nothing really performs quite like Facebook ads do. So quite simply, we take our products, put it in front of people on either Facebook or Instagram, lead them to dugoutmugs.com, which is hosted by Shopify. Then we have another app that's plugged in called ShipStation. And for the most part, there's a lot of processes that go on in between there. But for the most part, that's kind of what makes our business go around.
Nice. Man, those Facebook ads and Instagram ads, they are so targeted. Like, how do they know? Like, when I see them, I'm like, yes, I want that.
Right. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Where everybody gets freaked out about that, I'm like, I love that.
Yes.
Because that's how we've built our business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you always been using Facebook ads or Instagram ads? Or
yeah, 2015-ish, I started recognizing that like on my feed that there was t-shirts that were being targeted towards me, towards interests that I had.
Yeah.
I was like, man, this is so smart. And I always thought to myself, if I make the dugout mug a thing, like it would be so smart to have those in front of baseball fans on social media ads. Mm-hmm. And that's how the company started. And that's how the company continues to grow.
Nice. Nice. So I think keeping it simple is, I mean, really great advice, right? When you're looking at your business and how to, you know, manage complexity. If you were to look out into the future of your business, what would you say would be the next priority as far as like technology goes? Or is there anything that's happening out in the industry that excites you, you're interested in, you would consider for your business? I mean, we're just thinking about, you know, so much that's out there around digital twin technologies, AI, like there could potentially be a lot. It could also add complexity. So I'd love to get your take, you know, when you're thinking about your business and how to, you know, take manufacturing, distribution, or maybe even working with those retailers to the next level. Are there any technologies that you're thinking about?
The things that help bridge two technologies, there's something called Zapier. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but essentially it connects all of your apps and makes them all work together in some mm-hmm. capacity. So if this, then that, being able to just kind of streamline processes by getting everything to talk to each other is something that I feel like is the next iteration of this.
Like workflows, like automated workflows kind of thing. Like if something exactly. happens in one application, it sends, yeah, like information over to another, or something else happens in the business.
Exactly. Yeah. And to give a practical example of this is that my buddy owns a gym, and he, this time of the year is really a busy time of year for him. And he's never really dipped a toe in Facebook ads, but to help him, I helped him set up Facebook ad lead ads. And then those lead ads go to a Google sheet. And then those Google sheets, whenever somebody opts in, it sends them a text message and says, hey, somebody just opted in. So in real time, to be able to just get a notification that somebody just opted into your lead ads, and then just the speed of being able to follow up with them is critical, versus you'd have to refresh your Facebook business manager on a minute by minute basis to see if anybody's opted in so you can get in contact with them. So just being able to connect all the worlds so you can get information in real time is something that I'm looking forward to trying to get incorporated into dugout mugs.
That makes sense, because I can imagine with consumers, you know, you want to be able to respond to them as quickly as possible while they're still thinking about your business and what they just saw, so that you can, you know, make that sale or capture that customer.
Right.
Got it. Do you have any advice for other manufacturing leaders, or maybe advice you tell your team, you know, that you could share to others who are maybe thinking about, you know, going into business themselves as an entrepreneur, or maybe they're already leading a manufacturing organization and they want to take it to the next level?
I'm short on advice, honestly. Because, you know, I don't know if anybody really hears you until they're ready to hear you. And I guess if you're kind of hanging out on the sidelines and you're looking at other people playing the game that you want to play, the only way that you're going to get wet is you got to jump in. And that looks different for a lot of people. I started my business when I was 25 years old. I had nothing really to lose. Some people might have families. So your jumping in might look different than what my jumping in looked like at 25. But ultimately, if you want to play the game, you got to get in the game. So just start taking action. It's really as simple as that.
Absolutely. Can I ask you, when you were 25 and you started the business, did you make these yourself? Like, are you a woodworker, or like, how did you do it?
No. I didn't know what a wood lathe was. I didn't know anything about woodworking. In the beginning, yeah, I tried to make one myself and unsuccessfully. The way that I ended up doing it was, I mean, it's so simple looking back, just knowing that I needed a wood turner. And I didn't know what that was at the time. And apparently I wasn't very good at Googling, because it just took me forever to figure out what I needed in order to just make one. And the way I ended up making it is, I sorted through my mind that, okay, to make this, what do I need? And I realized I needed a billet. And billet's just a fancy way of saying like a wood block, so to speak. And then I looked up who sells billets. And then I called them. And then I said, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. If you know anybody that could do this for me. And they did. And so I kind of just reverse engineered out of the material and talk to the people that sold the material to eventually get to somebody that can make it for me.
I mean, I think it's inspiring, because to be an entrepreneur or to be a business leader, you think, I have to know everything. I have to like have all the skills. I have to know the whole business model. But like, you can figure it out. you know, you can start small, figure it out over time. And if it's something you love, you're driven to do it.
Yeah, that's a fact. I have something that I like to say, that when you transition, I don't know until I gotta know, that is kind of where the transformation happens. And it doesn't all have to come at once. You know, you don't have to turn every question that you have into an answer, but try one a day where you ask yourself a question in the subconscious level, bring it to the front of your mind and actually answer that question. And if you compound enough answers to those questions, eventually you're going to have a product in front of you. Then you get into distribution and that's a whole nother ball of wax. But yeah, that's the way I look at it. Just listen to yourself think, listen to yourself ask those questions, transition it from I don't know to I gotta know. Start with answering one of those questions once a day, then go to two, then go to three, then go to four. And then before you know it, you'll have a product that you could potentially sell if there's a good market fit.
Yeah. Speaking of, I kind of want to dig into what you just said there about distribution being a whole other ball of wax. So you said you have, you know, ShipStation. Can you talk a little bit about your distribution strategy?
Yeah, it's mostly like ones and twos from just e-commerce orders. So somebody flowing through and making a purchase on our website. And that's how we're structured as a business. We have pickers and packers and fulfillment staff. They get a packing slip. They pick it from a box that we have pre-ran based on forecasts. And they pick it out of a box, put it in another box and ship it out to the customer. The other side of that is the retail side, which we're trying to grow. I'm not overly involved in the conversations in the day-to-day on that side. I'm more operations. And as of lately, I've kind of been overseeing the marketing side of things. But the retail side of things is just understanding who buys our product and then finding people that have those customers that constantly inflow into their business and then just communicate how the margin works for them. And we recently went to a trade show in January and we're trying to just meet with the market where it's at. A lot of people are kind of scared of where the direction that the economy is going, or COVID has kind of left a bad taste in their mouth. And a lot of people have been left with a bunch of inventory they can't sell.
Yeah.
So we've taken the approach that no minimum order quantities, just no crazy lead times, we'll buy back if it doesn't sell. We're just trying to meet people where they're at. And
yeah,
if they're fearful right now, then we'll take the risk because we know it's going to sell through.
Yeah. 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 That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Well, this is such a great conversation, running out of time. So as we wrap up, for anyone out there, especially baseball fans, how do we learn more about Dugout Mugs and follow along with everything that you're doing?
Social media. Pretty much anywhere that you consume anything on social media, we're there. Instagram and Facebook. Don't really do much on Twitter, but yeah, Instagram and Facebook is probably the two areas where we're the most active.
I feel like I'll go on Facebook after this call and see all the ads.
I hope so.
Probably.
Yeah, I hope so. Hope you click them and buy them too.
Yeah, that's right. I am a baseball fan. And yeah, so I'm excited. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Randall. I really appreciate this. It was great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking the time as well.
All right. Well, thank you to my guest, Randall Thompson, the president and founder of Dugout Mugs. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Manufacturing the Future, brought to you by Epicor. For the latest episodes, search for the show on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure to subscribe to get notified when a new episode is released. To learn more about Epicor, visit epicor.com.